So, here at the £1.40 conference, the next topic of discussion has just been crowdsourced, and the larger number of hands were around. Let's discuss the psychology of Twitter, the games people play in 140 characters. So, I just spontaneously asked you, who are you?
Lucy Windmill.
Twitter name?
Lucy Wynn.
Where are the psychologists in the room? Are there any psychologists around you? And you said, I'm a psychologist. So I'm afraid you have been accosted for this very brief interview. What are your thoughts on this question?
Well, I'm actually studying positive psychology. So I've been following a lot of people that are, funnily, very positive. And I find that Twitter kind of, everyone's all, yay, good morning and happy. And you just sort of think, is everyone really that happy? Or is Twitter making people behave in a certain way? And that's what I've been kind of fascinated about.
Do you think there's something we like to do anyway? We like to surround ourselves with happy people, because happy people are probably successful people.
Yeah, research does tend to show that. Successful people are happy and vice versa. I don't know what comes first. But yeah, if you do hang around with miserable people, then it can have quite a bad impact on you. So I guess if you follow people that are whinging and whining and slating everything, then you probably just not follow them, because it's something that's going to bring you down.
Now, I don't think there are very many barriers between me actually thinking about what I'm going to tweet and tweeting. I tend to tweet my thoughts, so there's not much of a filter that comes into place, unless I think I'd probably be arrested for tweeting this. So I'd probably just stop myself straight. Do you think we filter ourselves? We monitor what we're going to say a lot? Is it down to the individual?
I think it's down to the individual. I guess some people are very strategic about what they tweet about. I mean,
well, obviously we can spot the marketers and the PR types a mile away.
Yeah. But I think, personally, I don't tweet about every thought and feeling that I have. I guess I'm quite monitored about what I tweet about. But sometimes just in a mood to say something random. But otherwise, I kind of use it, I guess I use it more for work and as amplified to sort of talk about what other people are talking about rather than what I'm actually feeling. But you do notice that people have a different take on it completely.
No, totally. If you could pin down the psychology of what the populace would call a successful Twitterer, what would that be?
I guess a successful Twitterer is someone that is natural and authentic and genuine, and they are just, they're following people that interest them, and they're buzzing off each other. They're commenting back on what they see in life and what they do in their day, commenting on what's happening in the news, the media. Yeah, I guess the people that are just authentic and genuine and just talk about themselves as they see it rather than try and be this person that's, oh, I'm so clever and I'm commenting on this, or, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm involved in talking about that even though I don't know much about it.
I must throw out some more intelligent links so I get retweeted.
Yeah, exactly. Who could be the most retweeted?
I think what we forget as well is there aren't just people talking and engaging in the conversation. There's an awful lot of listeners out there. Now, they used to be called stalkers before we realised how valuable listening was. And so, of all the people that are listening out there, I wonder what's going through their minds. What do you think?
Well, I wonder if when you're not quite used to the way Twitter works or even social media, you kind of hang back a bit and just see what other people are doing and you slowly get into the motion for it.
I think a lot of the time as well, it's people in what they might think of positions of power. I've spoke to a few people quite high up in corporations who say, oh, no, I'm on Twitter, but I mostly just listen. I just listen and watch and observe. And yes, there's a lot to be gleaned and there's a lot to be learned from. But for me, until you get involved in the conversation, you don't truly get the full impact, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think there's a lot of people that are just following and use it for that reason, just to see what other people are doing.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it wouldn't actually work or exist if everyone did that. But I guess that's life, isn't it? There's only a few people that really put themselves out there, and most people are kind of... Actually, I shouldn't really say that. Most people, we're sheep. We just follow each other.
Well, we do, and it's. I mean, I think the percentage is massive of media, multimedia makers. I think it's lower than 10, and of absorbers, it's 90 plus. So we mustn't forget that. And sometimes we say, especially at conferences like this, oh, the conversation's just going round. You know, we're talking to the same people again. Today, I haven't. This is one of the first times I've been to a conference, and a large proportion of the people I've stopped and talked to are people I'm aware of but never met before, which is one of my main reasons for coming here. Yet we do get stuck in an echo chamber. We do get stuck in these endless cycles. But as you said in your point earlier before, we surround ourselves with the people that we like to network with. They've become our friends. So we are going to get a repetition of conversation as we reaffirm each other's values, surely.
Yeah, that's it. I suppose it is all about reaffirming, isn't it?
I think that it's the sporadic reaching out and occasionally just throwing myself into the larger timeline that gives me those little nuggets of inspiration, those little nuggets of enrichment, because you can get stuck in your echo chamber.
Yeah, I just had a thought then, actually. If you think about people that actually want to, it's called self-regulation in the world of psychology, but it's actually, you want to grow, you want to learn more, you don't think that you know everything, so you put yourself out there, and actually by following other people, yes, you're learning, but like you said, you're not really saying, okay, I'm putting myself out there and I want to really learn, because if I don't say what I'm thinking or feeling, then no one else can say, actually, have you looked at this or have you tried that? You know, you can build up a community, but if you're not really participating in it, then you're not going to be learning and growing. So I wonder whether the people that really tweet a lot are those people that are kind of more self-regulating or grow, you know, they want to grow and they want to improve. They're inquisitive, they're slightly intuitive, they're kind of...
I can only speak from my own personal experience, and I know that when I first started out here, it hasn't actually changed that much. I ask a lot of questions. I'm very aware that the majority of people out there are going to be infinitely smarter in so many more topics that I haven't got an inkling about. And so why not use this living, breathing Google? And if there's any way I can share some knowledge of some random field of information I might be, you know, familiar with, then we exchange that. Yeah. But I was always asking questions, and I, you know, occasionally have to talk to people about social media, and I can't quite regularly say I show by doing without necessarily knowing. And when they say, "Where did you learn all this? Where did you learn all this?" I'll say, well, I ask people on Twitter. I just got involved in the conversation, and I learned everything pretty much through microblogging.
Yeah, people love telling you something they know. It's human nature, isn't it? Yeah. I know that. I can do that better.
Have you
tried this?
I guess that's an interesting point as well. You know, how much of this is ego? And I don't. I mean, if we were to start talking along Buddhist lines now, it'd be everything. We are ego. Everything is ego.
Yes. Yeah, I guess, yeah, there is an element of it, but I don't know, I think there are so many good things that happen from Twitter, and if you can just have a look at that, then I think you naturally start filtering out those people that are a bit too...
Well, I don't necessarily mean egotistic and ego as a negative connotation, you know, this awareness of self. We seem to shy away from the fact that, I mean, I like to think, ultimately, deep down, and you probably will stop following me for going depressed now and not super happy, we are all individuals in our minds, in our bodies, and I don't necessarily believe that there is such a thing as empathy. So maybe we are incredibly lonely and we have this desperate need to connect in this way, because Twitter is a very subconscious level where I can follow what my brother is doing, know what he's doing in Brazil, you know, comfortable in the fact he has fed the ducks, he's riding a horse. How jealous am I of him on his farm in Brazil? I take a lot of comfort out the fact I know that, and I don't necessarily have to invade his space by asking, what are you doing? It bridges a lot of gaps, and I think that our insecurities are appeased somewhat by having these connections. I think I'm just thinking out loud here.
Yeah, I guess so. It's you know that it's always there. So if you've had a horrible day, you might want to have a look and see what other people are doing. And you know,
especially your network, by the sound of things, I need to be following these happy people.
Yeah, I can't remember the name now, but might be Happier or something like that. They do put out these sort of positive psychology interventions that you could try. I've been thinking of doing. There's an intervention called Count Your Blessings or Three Good Things, and I was thinking about doing it on Twitter, so you could just do number one, number
there's
two.
There's been
three.
There's been a few hashtags around. You know. Some really, really uplifting hashtags where, you know, it just started off and before you know it's trending, where people, you know, just want to tweet something that they're thankful for. So, yeah, I guess you might pay to dip into that if you're not a cynic like most people that I follow on Twitter.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that for my dissertation there.
I think you could probably have a conference full of people in white coats with very, very big brains crammed into tiny schools just talking about this one topic, the psychology of Twitter. And who are we with our, well, I'll speak from my own experience, medium to large ego, to think that we can even grasp an inkling of it. Thanks very much.
Thank you.